This is the Indie Dads Podcast. I'm Malcolm.
And I'm Brian.
And we're a couple of dads sharing our journey about starting out and bootstrapping our indie businesses while still prioritizing our young families. We believe that you can bootstrap a successful SaaS, freelance, or indie business while still enjoying the family life.
Join us as we share our learnings from building our businesses from scratch. Hey, Malcolm, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm actually doing pretty good this week, Brian. How about you?
Pretty good. I started my new job. First day was today. Still is today.
Oh, nice.
It's a little bit more asynchronous, so I'm able to do stuff like record a podcast in the middle of the day. So that's
good. The best kind.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking last night, you know, I've been wanting to do like explicitly full-time remote since I can remember, and COVID forced a lot of us into it, which I was grateful for, honestly, because I enjoy working from home.
Yeah, but for sure.
This is the first position that I've been at where it's explicitly like everyone is working from home. I've got people on my team in all parts of the world. So, you know,
nice.
It's nice. I mean, it's a little bit more asynchronous. It has to be because of that.
Yeah, well, the different time zones and things, eh?
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be good. It's exciting, and it's a little bit sad, obviously, because that means it's the end of my sabbatical.
That's interesting. Initially you said your sabbatical was going to be 12 months, and it ended up being 8 months. Is there a reason why you decided to end it early?
I think it's mostly just me being risk averse. I could have definitely stretched it out more, but coming off of this bad partnership was really frustrating. I, you know, there's all the stages of grief, and I realized I was in anger, honestly, for the past couple of weeks. I was in the anger stage. I think that's before acceptance, maybe. I don't remember. Yeah. But it was really, really frustrating. And I was just, you know, I wasn't really, although I never want to give up on the dream of going full time on my own thing. Starting something new takes a lot of time. And I figured, you know, I could take the next 3 months and do that, or I can not burn through the rest of that amount of money that I would have set aside. And I can get a full-time job, which I'm going to have to do anyway, because 3 months is not enough to replace that income.
Yeah.
I might as well get started on that, take my time, find something I like, and then just do what everybody else is doing, which is, you know, working on it after hours, weekends, and things like that. So, and honestly, having that cushion gives me more flexibility too, in terms of like, if I don't like the job or if it's not working out or whatever, I don't feel like I'm living paycheck to paycheck or like with super tight handcuffs on. So I wanted that cushion a little bit too, but it is still bittersweet. I think I talked about it last time. I found the job in like a week or week and a half. It was crazy. So I didn't expect it to be that fast. I thought it was going to take a month or more to find something I really liked, but I did find something I'm really happy about. So here I am.
That's cool. And I mean, so when you're choosing a job, you went for a full-time salaried position. Did you weigh up like freelancing with the flexibility that comes with that versus the full-time? What went into that decision?
Yeah, I thought about it, but I'd be starting from scratch in terms of clients. Like I don't have one that I've been working with, and I've done it before. I'm not a big fan of the feast or famine thing that comes with that, where it's like you have too much work or you're not enough work, and it comes up and down or goes up and down all the time. The other big thing is being in the US where health insurance is a mess and healthcare is a mess. I was paying $2,000 a month just in health insurance for my family.
Oh, that's crazy.
Out of pocket, you know, because it wasn't – versus if you go – like I can go now in my current employer and get like gold-plated health insurance where it's almost at the most $500 a month. You know, and that comes out of a salary paycheck. So it's not like directly out of my bank account. It doesn't feel so painful. And that includes stuff that I don't get, you know, paying out of pocket, life insurance and – all this other stuff. So that was a big factor. It was just, I think, risk averse thinking.
Yeah, I think when you've got a big family and a wife and kids to support, you want to you know, they're first priority. So you want to make sure that they're covered in whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I'm a big fan of freelancing, but my personal tastes also go towards more the long-term contracts where, you know, I can get invested in a company and contribute towards long-term strategy and all these things. I don't know how the guys do it, like every 3 months or every 6 months onto a new thing. It just feels a little bit cowboy to me. But yeah, there's people that are made for that kind of thing. It's just not me.
Yeah. If I didn't have a family to take care of, I think I'd totally have more appetite for the freelancer life. But yeah, with a family, there's just so much, at least perceived stability with a salary job. You know, you can lose any job at any time, but it feels more stable. So here I am. And it's fun too. The job that I found feels like a startup without the risk of like running out of money. Mm. So kind of get to scratch that same itch. Yeah.
Very cool. So, I mean, when we were talking the last 2 weeks, I talked the last episode about how suffering from, I guess, I didn't want to call it burnout, but it was lack of motivation, I think is probably more accurate to say, you know, having all the interruptions of these vacations, which, I mean, is fantastic. We're all about family first. And I certainly did a lot of that over the last month or two. So it was fairly eventful. We had load shedding again, which, you know, the electricity cuts don't exactly help my internet connectivity and my after-hours productivity. We had our wedding anniversary a week and a half ago, I think. So there was, you know, giving priority to that. And I took the wife on a weekend away, which was super fantastic. It was really, really good to get out without the kids. We were both like, why haven't we done this? It's like the first time in 20 years that we've actually been on a, well, I guess we only had kids 5 years into the marriage. So that's 15 years that we've actually gone a whole weekend without any children. And just I think particularly for my wife, the mindset difference between having the kids around and having to worry about making food and is everyone okay, and versus just it's just you and the other person and you don't have to worry about that stuff, and it's very hard to explain, but trust me, it's worth it. If you've been married for a long time and you haven't gone out without the kids, do that weekend away. Totally worth it. So
it's a lot
I think
calmer,
that's
huh?
Yeah, it's so calm and relaxed, and we were in a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, surrounded by mountains. We went horse riding, we went to a nice restaurant on a wine farm and had some good seafood. It was just very, very nice. We had a wood-fired hot tub right by our chalet that had like a mountain view. So, yeah, it was really, really good. So, highly recommended. If anyone's listening, give it priority. And definitely something we're going to be doing a lot more often now that we can see the value of it. And especially, I mean, yeah, as I mentioned before, we're changing like schooling with the oldest, and there's just all this pressure of having to organize things. And, we came in a little bit late on that. So it's just, you know, and work and this, it's tax season and just so, so many things to do. So it was very, very worthwhile just taking that time out. So something we think of, I think we're going to be doing at least on an annual basis from now on. So that was good.
Nice.
As far as, I mean, last time we talked, you had this exciting new idea that you were going to investigate, and you had gone on some Reddit forums to establish the need. Did you work on that? Did you do the cold emailing like we said we were going to do?
Yeah, I talked to some actual people.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I mean, both of us talked to actual people this last 2 weeks, Brian. I think hell's going to freeze over or something.
What's happening to these two introverts? I don't know. So the idea came from the partnership, I mean, that I had. That's definitely one good thing that came out of it. In that company, we worked with real estate investors who would buy and flip houses. And they had a lot of leads coming in, usually through Google Ads and SEO and things like that. People would come and they would fill out a form, and we would email them and text them the information. Here's their phone number. Here's their address. follow up with them. Or if they had a CRM, we would integrate with it, usually through Zapier or something really basic. But most of them had, they were not tech savvy. They didn't want to be tech savvy. They just wanted to get the job done. They were real estate people. And so a lot of them had construction background, and they dealt with computers because they had to, not because they wanted to. And so they often had cobbled together solutions, whether it was just a spreadsheet or honestly just searching their emails, because they had tried some solutions like HubSpot or Salesforce or other CRMs out there. When you search for CRM, they knew that term. They knew they needed a CRM. Mm. They just didn't know where to find one. It was always super overwhelming. And so to try to help them out, I would always go and search for just simple CRM, really simple CRM, something along those lines. And I couldn't really find anything. The best I could find... Yeah, exactly. It seems so obvious, right? And I'm sure there are things out there. That's why last time I was going, I've got to be missing something. I have to be. There have been a few, like HiRise from Basecamp was one. They shut that down. They're not accepting new clients. There have been a few, I think, over the years. There are some, like there's one that's got a pretty funny name. Less Annoying CRM is what it's called. It's been around for like 10 years. So and that's good. I like to see that. That means there's established competition that has lasted, that has enough customers to pay at least some of their bills. I don't know what their bills are, but to stick around for a while. But there's just not many. And even the ones that are there, they complain on Reddit and places like that, Quora, Reddit, email groups, about how they just want to get in there and use it. They don't want to set it up. They don't want to configure it. They don't want to integrate. They just want a simple CRM. So I'm going, at first I was searching because I was trying to help them find one. Because if it's a pain for them, it's a pain for me as their kind of search or their marketing agency. And I couldn't find one. I kept running into these Reddit threads. I was reading the threads, looking for what the answer was, looking at the last comment there, trying to figure out the most upvoted comment, like what's the answer? Couldn't find it. So then I started searching, kept finding more questions, couldn't find any answers. The best answer I could find was either, well, you just have to deal with it and use HubSpot, which came up the most. But you just have to deal with it. That's just the way that it is. Or there's nothing out there, but you can do this thing, this like Excel spreadsheet. I just use an Excel spreadsheet. And, I'm running into these. And after the fifth one or so, I started jotting them down in a Google Doc. And I just kept digging in, looking on Quora, looking on more on Reddit, everywhere I could find, just Google, really. And I ended up with 21, and I stopped there. I could have kept going. 21 different threads of people complaining about it without a solution. So then I thought, okay.
That's crazy.
This is crazy. I agree. Brian,
come on.
It's like every developer, they create their own blog, their own to-do list, and probably their own CRM. So it's almost like, what's going on here? There's just not one out there that is easy enough for them to use without complaining. And I did find a few enterprising entrepreneurial types that had tried it and launched it, and they just weren't good and they didn't get any traction. And I'm not saying like I am the master of UX and I could do better, but I think I could do pretty well. And so I started digging into, okay, is this the next thing I'm going to spend years of my life working on? I want to make sure that I'm not missing something here. So I reached out to everyone that had created the posts on Reddit. I had to DM them because I didn't have their email. And I just said, hey, I noticed that you mentioned this in this thread. I'm just curious if you ever found anything you're happy with. And I left it at that. I didn't say anything about being a software engineer. I didn't say anything about wanting to build it. I just asked them, did you find the solution? And I reached out to 20, all of them that I had the threads on, and about 10 of them responded and said, no, I haven't found anything yet. And so then I followed up with, well, the reason I'm asking is I'm actually thinking about tackling this problem. And if you're going with the pure like mom test type method, that was too early to do that. But I was dealing with Reddit DMs that they don't reply to very often. So I thought, well, I'm going to
get them while they're hot.
Yeah, get them while they're hot and see how hungry they really are. And of those 10 that did respond, about 5 of them responded and said, yeah, I want to talk about this. I'd love to. This is still a problem. And so I ended up getting on the phone with 3, which is still a really small sample size. It's not enough, but I just got on a Zoom call with them and talked about what they do. They're all pretty similar. They tend to be in the like real estate or property management type space. Well, there's actually 2 different types of customers. There's the customers that have incoming leads and they need to follow up with those, like a sales type process. And then there's the other half, which is like, I have all these existing customers or clients and I can't remember them all. And I need some place to share with the rest of my company and keep track of what was said when.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what I ended up learning. The interesting thing that I learned from those calls, which I'd like to do more of, but I'm not sure if I'm going to stop progress to do. I'll talk about that in a sec. But what I learned is that the price point they were looking for, and the way that I asked this was, when you were looking, what was your budget? Instead of asking directly, how much are you going to pay? You know, they said, well, it was between $10 and $20 a user probably. Of course, they all started with, well, I prefer it be free. Everybody does.
Everybody's looking for free.
Yeah. But they're like, we could do like 15, 10, 12, 15, 20 a person. And when I asked, well, who would that be, you paying for that? Oh, no, that's my boss. So what happens is their boss, who's not tech savvy, knows they have a problem, asks them to find something that would work. They can't find anything. So they go on Reddit and they ask there. And they still can't find anything. And so the people that I was talking to weren't the decision makers, but they were definitely influencers.
Yeah.
So the next trick would be, you know, in the traditional playbook, see if you can get their credit card up front to prove that they really want the thing. They weren't the person with the credit card. So that was a little bit tough. And they were hesitant, understandably, I guess, to bring their boss in, except for one guy who's like, I'm going to go talk to my boss right now because we were thinking of hiring someone to build this. So that's where I'm at. Now I've got those 3, which basically confirmed everything that I could find online. I didn't learn anything particularly new other than the price point, which nobody really openly talked about, and that they weren't the people making the decision. That wasn't super clear. Everything else, all the other questions I asked them about how they manage things, what they want, what features they want, were really pretty clear. They all kept saying the same thing. When they say simple CRM, they mean contacts, some way to schedule follow-ups and to see what you need to do for the day, week, month, whatever, and some simple reporting. And then of course, you know, that sounds simple, but there's also like, you know, notes associated with contacts and reminders and, you know, all this stuff. And some of them want to integrate with some sort of inbound lead form. Maybe it's a Google form. Maybe it's on their own website, something like that. Nobody really needed the CRM to provide the website or necessarily even the form. They just needed it to integrate with whatever they already had. So that's where I'm at. I didn't build anything yet because I was kind of honestly taking it easy before I go back. I thought I was going to go all gangbusters and like, you know, go super, get as much done as I could, but it ended up me going, you know what? I'm getting kind of tired. I think I'm going to just take it easy. So awesome. Now that's what I'm going to start doing is, taking what I've learned, start building. I'm going to start with a landing page. I'm not going to build the whole thing and then suddenly release it, but I'm going to start with a landing page, start getting the Google juices flowing, start collecting email addresses, reach out to the people that I have connected to, get them to add their email address. That's an easy CTA. So if they don't at least do that, then I know that they're just being nice. And then I'll start figuring out how I want to attract attention and market this thing because I think that's the hardest part of this. The building is not going to be that hard.
Mm.
So that's where I'm at right now.
Well, it sounds almost too good to be true, because I mean, when I heard Simple CRM, it's like, aren't there like hundreds of those? I mean, surely.
I won't be surprised if somebody listening goes, well, there's this one over here and I would love to hear that. Send it my way, because I want to know what I'm missing. In part, it's validation, but also like, you know, there's obviously room for competition.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. I mean, what it does say is the need is far more than what's being provided. If you can't super easy, you know, come to an answer like, oh, there's this really big player that is more than what we need and everybody uses them. So if you can't find the answer, but you find a lot of need out there, then that's a good sign.
Yeah. And at a minimum, maybe there's this awesome product out there that fits this description perfectly, but they are awful at marketing. Obviously nobody can find them, or at least these people can't. Yeah. And I suspect I'm only talking to a small pool of people. It's just on Reddit, really, you know, so I'm going to keep digging, keep trying to find something that I'm missing, because it does seem too obvious. But minimalist type things is kind of like what I enjoy doing, because like Bluebird was a minimalist. Twitter tracking via email. I've got minimal.blog. You know, I'm kind of into that minimalist the
simplification
approach.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. So, I mean, you got quite a few Twitter followers. How about just saying, like, what's everybody out there using for CRM?
I don't know. Cat's out of the bag now, so why not? Yeah. But I don't know if I have a lot of Twitter followers. I have less than 1,000. Well, but
relatively speaking, Brian, for the average Joe, I think more than 100 is a fair amount.
Yeah, and they're great. They're very, you know, everybody's very receptive and encouraging and engaged. So at a minimum, I think that they could point me to some good resources. So I think I'll do that.
Awesome.
So I guess the next couple weeks for me are going to be one, obviously settling into the new thing, but I'm going to get that landing page up and see what attention I can get. I don't expect much of anything at first, because I've got no SEO, I've got no anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got to start somewhere.
So have you figured out what your new schedule is going to look like now that you've got a full-time job during the day? Or are you just going to kind of see how your week goes and see where the gaps are?
Yeah, I am not a morning person. I hate mornings. I wake up the very last second possible. So it's going to be evenings for me. Now, the cool thing is that the people that I work with are distributed throughout the world, like I mentioned, and so their timelines are all different. But it still looks like, because our customer base is in the US, most of the action happens during the day. So the evening should work pretty well after, you know, seems like a pretty typical 8 to 5 kind of thing. And then at 5, you know, spend time with family, do dinner, spend some time just catching up on the day, and then probably around 9 or so, I should be able to get 3 or 4 hours in per day. But, you know, having tried this before, I run into the same issue.
I was about to say, if you can get 3 or 4 hours in one evening, man, you're doing so well. I think if I get started at 10, then that's like, wow, I'm doing good this evening.
Yeah. And I'm such a baby. I don't do well without sleep. So we'll see how this goes. It may just be 2-3 hours a day. We'll see. I guess I'll have that to report next time as well.
Awesome. Well, I love the idea.
We'll see. The domain I ended up buying is, what is it called, where they're like the beginning of the word all sounds the same? It's Super Simple CRM, so that you got the S sound at the beginning of each word.
Alliteration.
Alliteration. So it's an alliteration type name, which it's a long name, supersimplecrm.com, but I think that makes it memorable because it's an alliteration. So that's what I'm going with. There's nothing there right now, so don't go there. Or if you
that
do,
that was available.
Yeah. Yep. Now, here, you know, I mentioned that trademark issue that I had with the previous partnership. So I was a little bit hesitant, because there is a simplecrm.com, and I want to be Super Simple CRM. But when I look at it, They are, it's interesting. It's called Simple CRM, but it's very enterprisey. And it's mainly, I believe, headquartered around like the Malaysia area. And so it's for like Asia businesses or businesses based in Asia that want a CRM. It's very, I mean, yes, it has CRM in the name, but that's not a trademarked thing. And Simple is a description term. So I think I can still brand it. I mean, there might be lawyers in the audience that disagree, but I'm going to give it a shot. And if I have to rename it, I have to rename it. But I think they're different enough that I'll be okay.
Yeah. I mean, you got to start with something. So it, and that something has to become a revenue something before anybody's making any noises. So,
yeah, true.
I think you should be good.
True. So how about you? What have you been up to?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, despite all the challenges, I did actually get to emailing a good couple of people that were on my Excel spreadsheet. Nice. So I sent 5 or 6 emails out and did not receive any replies. So that in and of itself is probably a little bit of a sign, but at least I'm getting some contacts now that I'm actively following up on. So, you know, I don't think 5 or 6 is really a massive sample to be making any decisions on whether people are engaged or not. But at least, you know, I should have been doing this way a long time ago because I've been collecting those startup sign-up emails for a while now, even though it is opt-in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I got another one, I think day before yesterday, that I still have to get to, which is probably going to happen a little bit later after this call. Other than that, really boring stuff like fiddling with third-party libraries that have bugs and working on features. Don't say the word. but there is really one feature that I just want to get done before I go into the whole recording demo videos and making screenshots and preparing for product hunt launches and websites and that kind of thing. So I just want to set that foundation first before I head feet first into that arena.
You had mentioned that you wanted to get to where you could replace your own spreadsheet before you felt like it was good enough to really hit the gas on the marketing you come up with. Have you gotten to that point?
Yeah. Yeah, that's this last feature that I'm implementing now, which is fairly simple, which just does a calculation that says if for this specific client I'm targeting 40 hours a week, you can open up your calendar and it'll give you like a plus or minus on those hours to see whether you've got some extra flexi time or you have to work in a couple extra hours to catch up with that target. The way I use it personally is just to hold myself accountable to make sure that I'm putting in the work that I say I'm putting in, and also that I don't work, because I mean, most of us, we work and we lose track of time, and then you actually work too much. So to give a fair shake to all my other priorities, it's like, well, I'm not going to work more than 40 hours or so on this project. So at least there's something that's telling me, that's holding me accountable, and that's easy to see. So it is simple and also not simple, because working with targets and date times and, you know, middle of the week and when does your week start and all those different things. So I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. But yeah, as soon as that's in, then it's all burners go on demo videos and the website redo with some analytics and all those things. And we'll see how far we get with that.
Okay. So going back to the email real quick, what do those first emails look like? How did you word them? How did you structure them?
It was actually really simple. Let me see if I can see a sent one. It was just basically, it's like, hey, I saw you downloaded the app on this specific platform. Is there anything particularly why you would be using it? Or, and I didn't word it that way, that sounds silly. But the gist of two calls to action. It's like, if you're using it, why are you using it? What's valuable about it? And if you're not using it anymore, what was missing? I could probably update the copy or the grammar to be a bit better now that I'm looking back at it, at the actual email. So there's probably some fine tuning to do there. But yeah, you know, the core thing for me wasn't to make it super wordy.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good to keep it lean. Have you followed up on those, like replied to yourself and said, hey, just following up on this type of thing?
No, so I guess that's the salesy thing to do is, is if you don't get the reply once, then just try again. No, I haven't. I may schedule that. I mean, it's not a lot of emails, so I could probably get to that this week. But yeah, there seems to be one or two fresh ones coming in, so I wanna give those a go until I get a bite or a nibble, and then get some interactions going.
I know that we don't want to be, you know, as engineers, we have this aversion to like the salesy, you know, snakeskin shoe, fancy suit sales guy.
Yeah.
You know, feeling, but I do think that we over-index on that. I would say that even a couple of follow-ups would be okay. Maybe stop at three if you're feeling like it's too much. But I think there's a lot of well-intentioned people that get an email and go, "Oh yeah, I should respond to that guy. He sounds like an indie maker," or something along those lines. And then life happens, and all it takes is one follow-up, maybe two. And then they get back to you. They meant to this whole time, but you don't know that. And they, you know, life happens, so they just forget.
Okay, Brian, you've convinced me I should at least do it once.
I think there's some good people out there that will respond if you nudge them a little bit. And all it needs to be is a nudge. If they don't respond, then it's not going to hurt anything. Like,
yeah.
What's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is they get nasty and they reply and you say, "Okay, oh well. On to the next." They're not going to like find your home address or anything.
Yeah, well, that's also true. But I guess I want to reserve. It's this constant fight of, right? Mm-hmm. I've got this hour or two in the evenings. I want to do stuff I enjoy doing. And I must be honest, like trying to find the right copy for an email is not my favorite thing in the world to do. So it's more of a necessity. So if I have to do it one more time, then it's like, oh, I think I might find some extra time somewhere. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah, but I don't think you're to the email copy stage yet. To me, it's like, at least with the follow-up, maybe the first one, you want to be a little bit more selective with what you say. But after that, it's just like, hey, just following up on this, I'd love to hear from you at the end.
Also true. Yeah.
You know, like it's like a coworker email, you know, think of it that, at least that's what I would do in that situation to hype myself up a little bit, because I also don't like bugging people is how it feels to me. But I think people are well-intentioned for the most part, and they'll help you out. You know, you'll get at least some bites, I think. But I do think that because of life, you know, it's going to take a little bit of nagging, and that's okay. We got to get over that, right? We got to grow a thick skin about the sales and marketing.
Yeah, the trap there is you tend to view everyone through the filter of your own way of doing things. So I know I'm an inbox zero person. If I get an email, I will reply to you. If I don't reply to you, it means I don't want to talk to you. So when I email someone and they don't reply, I'm like, okay, they don't want to talk. That's fine. I'll move on. I guess, like you say, not everyone is like that. I know my wife's inbox has got a couple thousand unread messages. So, maybe it just takes an extra nudge or two. We'll see how that goes.
That little red notification circle drives me crazy. But I'm always shocked by how many people have like 10,000 unread emails in that little.
that would stress me out. I can't imagine doing that.
I'm an inbox zero guy too, but I think that we might be a minority in the minority here. I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's worth it. I'm looking forward to hearing. I mean, it could be nothing, but if you keep it short and sweet, you've lost maybe 10 minutes one night, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, what I really want to do is just push through this and get started on the website stuff, because that's kind of, you know, normally I've been a bit averse about going to the web. I just really enjoy building native stuff. But I don't know, my attitude's changed over the last little bit, and I look forward to playing around in that space and see what's what. I think it's because I've been building native stuff so long. There's nothing really, even though there's like recent changes, that there's a lot of new stuff coming out, but it's all more of the same on top of the existing API. So I guess my learner strength is kicking in. It's like, oh, I gotta learn something new on the tech side and see if I can scratch my teeth on those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's still in that comfort zone, right? Just to be transparent.
Yeah, and it's
still
Exactly. That's the whole constant fight, because you only have an hour or two in the evening, and you know, you don't really feel super motivated to do things that you're not interested in. I mean, that's not why you're doing it. But then the catch 22 is, well, you need to do the boring stuff and the stuff you don't want to do. If you want to do it even part-time, never mind full-time, if you want to do like just some sort of income to pay the bills, you know, running a business is very different to having a hobby. So I guess I think for a lot of developers, that's the distinction. You start out and building products is a hobby and it's really fun. And you say, well, I could make money out of this and do it full-time. Mm-hmm. But you don't really think it all the way through, right? It's like, well, building a business means there's a whole bunch of admin and tax stuff and marketing and all sorts of things that you are not really comfortable with that you have to be doing in these late hours. So that's where I kind of like my pendulum swings between, okay, I have to do it and I don't mind doing it, let's do it, to the very next day I'll feel like, well, I don't want to do it. I just want to build stuff because that's what I like doing.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's more of a hobby, but there's nothing wrong with hobbies, right? Like, we do them because they're relaxing, they're fun. We just have to decide. I'm talking to myself. I'm pointing four fingers back at myself. You know, is this a hobby or do I really want this to replace my full-time income? And if I do, I either need a partner that's going to do the non-fun stuff, or I just need to do the non-fun stuff. And for me, that's where masterminds and accountability partners and honestly this podcast come in, is like, I need you to help bust my chops about doing the boring stuff, what I think is boring. Now, some people love marketing. To me, it's not as much fun, but it's necessary, you know? It's the boring stuff to me.
I know of a few listeners that are going, what do you mean the marketing's boring? We love that stuff.
Hey, great. Like, man, I have definitely changed that opinion over the years. To me, marketing was an afterthought. And now I definitely see it's a full-time job and then some. And it's not just something you slap on top of a product afterwards. It's hard. It's really hard. But any entrepreneur that can build and sell and market is the unicorn, you know, that everybody's looking for.
Yeah, and that kind of brings up like an interesting point there, right? Because most of the time, you're either good at one or the other. And it's interesting to see in the whole indie hacking space that there isn't more kind of like collaboration going on. It's like if you have developer skills and another person has marketing skills, but they need a developer, you know, being a co-founder isn't the only way to go. Why isn't there more collaboration going on? Like, well, I'll give you some marketing time if you give me some dev time. I guess it's an oversimplification of the problem, but I think the status quo, the way it is now, seems to be to the extreme where nobody collaborates at all, or you're a co-founder. I've had one or two interesting conversations over the last week where it's opening up those kinds of possibilities, and I thought, well, you know, that's an interesting thing. I mean, when you start out with a product and you know you need certain skills that you don't have, getting a co-founder isn't the only route to go. I think if you get into the right network and the right communities, I think there will be plenty of marketers out there that are looking for someone to build something, but also not necessarily wanting to take the risk. So there's got to be, surely there's this some sort of middle ground where you can not have to commit to sharing the business, like trading skills. So you don't have to pay for it either, because most of us indie hackers can't afford to pay for that skill. I guess as developers, the logic is you build something and you release it and you get a little bit of traction. And with that little bit of traction, you start to slowly but surely contract out, you know, the skills that you don't have. But that can take a long time. And maybe just a little bit of collaboration early on can accelerate that curve.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good old-fashioned bartering. I mean, I didn't think about it that way either, but I think the reason that I mean, aside from a partnership, don't work with a marketer is I feel like, oh, I can't afford a marketer. And I think it's the other way around as well. Marketers are like, well, I can't afford a developer.
Well, I think most of it probably comes down to relationships and trust, right?
The other part is it's got to be an ongoing thing. Like, I can't really just build and give something, hand something over to someone that doesn't know how to maintain it. And likewise, the marketing side, it's not a one-time thing. I mean, other than stunts and PR, you know, PR stunts, it's an ongoing thing. And so I kind of need that ongoing effort. And if they need ongoing development support, and if I need ongoing marketing, why not just partner up?
Yeah, and I think you probably have to be at the right stage as well. Because, I mean, if I've only got a couple hours in the week, I literally, if I'm going to be helping building on another product, that's pretty much all I'm going to be doing that week. Mm-hmm. So you have to almost say, well, for the next month, my product's not going to be moving anywhere in terms of building it. But if somebody else was working an equivalent time on marketing it, and it was in a state that it was ready to be marketed, that's the other thing, then perhaps that could work.
It's an interesting idea. Maybe somebody can solve that.
I think there might be one or two people working on just such a problem. But we'll see. Well, Brian, why don't you hit us with your best dad joke?
I think I'm going to offend some people with this one. Why do British people pronounce it British? Because they drink all the tea. I don't know if I haven't heard you say.
No, I don't think you'll offend anyone, but that's really good.
The South African
as someone
accent.
From we're from a Commonwealth. We're a Commonwealth country, so we are very close cousins to the British. So if it doesn't offend us, I don't think it'll offend them.
But you said the tea.
Yeah, so. We pronounce words properly here in South Africa. we use all the letters. Yeah, so I saw the Super Bowl was on this weekend. Like, it's all over my Twitter feed, and I see 50 Cent made an appearance at the Super Bowl. And I see, yep, they had to bring him on after two quarters, right, to give the spectators value to their dollar.
I guess so. Yeah, he couldn't perform any earlier than after two quarters. You're right.
For sure. Did you manage to catch the game? I heard it was pretty good.
I watched the game for that halftime show. I grew up on that stuff. Neither of the teams were, you know, I'm not a fan one way or the other. So it was just fun to watch. I wasn't really going to die on that hill for either of them, but it was good. Yeah. It was fun.
Well, I think as a neutral spectator, it must have been probably the most fun because you are not that invested in one team or the other. And the lead, as I understand it, was swinging back and forth. So
it was
really
fun.
Entertaining.
It was a fun game. Yep. Unless you have anything else, we can call it good and chat again in 2 weeks.
Yeah. All the best for your new job, Brian. I hope everything goes well.
Thanks. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Cheers. See ya. If you enjoyed this episode and you want an easy way to support us, we'd love it if you reviewed this podcast on whichever platform you're using to tune in. If you'd like to ask a question, you can send us an email to hello@indiedads.com or message us directly on Twitter. You can also find us at indiedads.com, where you can see show notes, links to our Twitter profiles, and product websites. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.